So today, as we go through the service and for the next few weeks, I want us to see what God has done for us. The blessings that he has given us, these spiritual blessings. And I want to start today in Nehemiah. You say, who's Nehemiah? You said, I never heard of that before. Well, it's not because he had knee problems. It wasn't because one day he walked by and somebody said, oh, Nehemiah, my Maya, my legs. No, that's his name. And in Nehemiah chapter 8 and verse 10, he speaks something to us. This is thousands of years ago, and this is one of the blessings of the resurrection. In Nehemiah chapter 8 and verse 10, listen to what he says. He says, the joy... That's right. The joy. Sometimes people think Christianity should not be a joy, but a bore. No. I want to dispel that myth today once and for all. Hopefully once and for all. Nehemiah understood it. Nehemiah 8:10, the joy of the Lord is our strength. God strengthens us. And he wants us to be strong, and he wants us to be joyous. And those two actually work together. Nehemiah knew what he was talking about. He said, the joy of the Lord is our strength. The joy, have you ever wondered that being happy is our strength? I mean, how strong are you going to be? What are you going to be able to accomplish with your head hung low and you don't want to work no more and you just want to go home and you just want to curl up and forget it? No, there's joy, joy in the Lord, joy. God wants us to have joy. He's given us joy, the joy of the Lord. This is not my joy, not something I work up or you are to go and try to work up and stir up. It's from the Lord. And when you stop and you see all that the Lord has done for us, we rejoice. That means we reach back and do it again and say, oh, wow, God, I didn't know you were like that. I didn't know you could do that. And we give him praise. See, there's strength in joy. There's no strength in sadness. Now, sometimes for a period of time, we may grieve and we go through sadness, but we need to understand that at the end of it all, at the end of it all, God has given us joy. And he's told us to rejoice in the Lord. And he says, rejoice in the Lord always. It's to be a way of life. You say, what if I don't feel like it? Well, get up like it. You know, sometimes I don't feel good. Anybody ever get to that? Well, I just don't feel good today. I don't know if I can make it today. And then you get up. Am I right about it? You get up and you stay up. And there seems to be some power, some strength from somewhere. The way it works, God has made us and created us to be people and human beings that have joy. And that joy leads to strength. And that strength leads to power. God has given us resurrection power. That's one of the blessings. One of the blessings of the resurrection. And that's what I'm going to be pointing out even as today. Joy is a blessing of the resurrection. The resurrection of Jesus Christ. Joy is associated with his resurrection. And ought to be associated with our lives. In other words, we need to hook up with Jesus. We need his power and his strength. He gives it willingly. That's why he put it in Nehemiah that way. The joy of the Lord is our strength. We all need some joy, don't we? And enjoy the Lord who lives in us. There's something else I want to mention as well in the scripture. In Romans chapter 6 and verse 8, these are the gifts and the blessings that God gives us as a result of his resurrection. And we know that Christ being raised from the dead. I even like the geological setting of things. We are raised from the dead. We don't stay in the grave. When Jesus rose, it was a metaphor and an example of what and how he's going to and how he does bless us. He raises us up. Romans 6 in verse 9. We know that Christ being raised from the dead will, and that we will not die. Death has no power over us. Jesus had that power. He has that power. And he reigns from heaven. And he makes sure that his people, through messages like this, realize that he's given us that power, that resurrection power, that we will never die. First of all, Jesus will never die again. Never die again. You can look at that in Romans 6 and verse 9. A little homework for you. Romans 6 and verse 9. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death hath no control over him. I believe in faith that all who have faith in Jesus Christ, who see him as their strength, not only in this life, but in the life to come, that Jesus Christ has come, that resurrected Christ has come to live inside of us from the inside out. And from that strength and that power of Christ in us, we have new life. That's the beauty about springtime. I look above this monitor here and I see outside. I see the white petals on the flowers. I see the reds. I see it's beautiful. It's like the whole world has come alive again. God has called us to come alive again in the one who is the source of life, who died for us and will never die again. And all who put their faith in him will live with him in joy, in beauty, in power. You see, joy and power go together. I think you picked up on that. That when I've got joy, I've got strength. We have the strength of the Lord. It's not our strength, it's his strength. And he blesses us with it. That's two or three blessings already that I have pointed out to us. And next week, I want to point out more blessings that God has for us, more things that God has done for us. And then when we see those things, we have joy. And joy, what comes after joy? Strength, the mighty power of the Lord. That's what it talks about. We've got joy. The song says that. We've got joy like nothing else. You want to be happy? God created you to be happy. I really do believe that. He does not create us to be unhappy. And he's given us a being who is God, who created everything. Everything to be beautiful from the inside, from flowers and trees, to his magnificent achievement, creating us in his own image, in beauty and in strength, to bring glory to him. You were created to bring glory to God. I was created to bring glory to him as well, and to rejoice in him, and to say, wow, God, I didn't know you were like that. And you come to know him like that through faith. Because we can't perceive that on our own. We'll miss it. But God created us, and you are beautifully and wonderfully made, each and every one of us. And we were made that way to enjoy God and glorify him forever. When people see us and they see the way we act, we talked last week or so about forgiving and loving others, loving others, loving our enemies. See, that's how Jesus was. He loved his enemies. And he loved his enemies so the whole world could see what God was like. And we too should love our enemies to let the whole world know what our Father is like. You thought I was going to say, so the whole world could see what we were like. Oh, that's part of it. But that's not the biggie. We love our enemies so the whole world can see, know, and experience what our Father is like. You see, it is the love of God, it is the love of God the Father that we are called to exercise, not work it up on our power, our strength, and our personalities. But there are people who are in need of love. And maybe you don't love them because of this or that and the other thing. But you see, folks didn't love Jesus. No, no, they did it not. They crucified him. But he, when he rose, he came and he loved them anyway. We are to love our enemies because it shows who our Father is. We don't have a father that's a slapback father, a father who goes and gets even. He is a father who brings joy and strength. That's why we're to love our enemies, because, you see, Jesus loved his enemies. On a cross, he was nailed. He didn't have to stay on that cross. No. He could have come down any time, but he wanted to show his enemies. You see, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, see, notice they're called Sadducees, not Joyousees. That's why they didn't laugh. You know, they were kind of stoic. But come and see Jesus. Come and not just see Jesus, see his Father. Jesus lives in us to show what the Father is like. And if the Father is displayed in us, even with our enemies, even just praying for your enemies, Jesus said, pray for your enemies. You love them, even though you can't get around along with them. You still can pray for them. You still can identify with them. You still can understand like a loving father would, that you don't know what they've been through. You don't know what they've had to bear. They need to know Jesus, and maybe the only way they're going to get to know Jesus is through Jesus in you and Jesus in me. And they're seeing the love of God maybe for the first time in their lives. We all need Jesus, even our enemies. And we need to show our enemies and the whole world by loving them the way God has loved us. Well, I better quit blabbing for a little bit. I want us to, you know, Jesus loved his enemies. He loved his enemies so much that he gave his life for them. He would eat and drink with them, knowing that they would betray him, especially one, Judas. And yet he loved him. So that's the kind of love that God passes on to us. And even as we eat the bread of the Lord's Supper and drink the wine, be mindful of that's what Jesus did with his enemy, with the one who betrayed him especially. In chapter 26, actually 25 of Matthew, it says, then Judas, the one who would betray him, said, surely not I, Master. Because he asked, who's going to do this? Who's going to betray you? He revealed, I'm going to be betrayed. And he was setting an example, I believe, for you and I. That we love even our enemy. And I know this is the second week you've heard that. There may be different reasons why we should love our enemies. I don't know all of them. But I know that there's joy at the end of this. Anytime you can give the truth of salvation, even if it's your own life, God has a blessing. Blessing is not just for us. It's for our enemies as well. It says, then Judas, the one who would betray him, as we say today, a backstabber, said, surely not I, Matt Rabbi. It's not me, is it? He knew it was him. Jesus knew who he was. And Jesus answered, yes, it is you. Well, see you, Buster. You know, I'm out of here. I'm right. No, Jesus loved him and stayed with him. Yet it's you, Judas. And while they were eating, Jesus took bread and gave thanks and he broke it. Father in heaven, we thank you for the bread we're going to eat today. That bread, we know deep down inside, is Jesus. We're not worthy of you, Jesus. We're not worthy of your body. We're not worthy of your blood that you spilled for us. Yet because you are love, and because you wanted to show us what the Father is like, we partake of it humbly, realizing, when I say humbly, we realize we're not worthy of it. But because you are what love is about, sacrificing ourselves for our enemies. Father, as we eat this bread, Jesus, please help us to gain the full, if that is possible, the full reality and experience of loving an enemy and loving them anyway. Let us live and work and walk before you in more than, what's the word, Lord? More than just being religious. Help us to do it from the bottom of our hearts. Let us rejoice. So please bless this bread now, Lord, and let us eat of the body of Christ. Let healing be brought to those who are sick and weary. Bring healing. Bring healing of our souls to be joyous before you and to be powerful in our humility to one another and to the world. So bless this bread now. We ask you to bless it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for your body. Thank you for loving us so much. We thank you for the blood. Father, bless us now as we drink this wine. Let it give us the deep down, not just theological understanding, but the reality that you bled for us, you died for us. And because you died for me and all of us, we don't have to die. We don't have to be lost. And we can be saved through the body and the blood of Jesus. And if there are those listening today who have not received the body and the blood, I invite you today to receive it. See, it's one thing to say, I believe. What believe means is to receive. That I take as truth the word of God. I take as truth, the promises of God, that he is the source of my life, and that we can have joy and peace and love and share joy, peace, and love with the world. So bless us now, Father, as we eat, as we drink, in Jesus' name. Amen. While we are partaking of the bread and the wine, I want you to listen to the song called Just As I Am. God's not waiting for you to clean yourself up to come to him. He says, come to me and I will give you life. I will clean you up. That is, I will forgive all of your sins and all of the scars in your thinking and in your shame. You don't have to remember your sins anymore. Jesus washes them all away. So come just as you are.
Just as I am.
Open-hearted, I come.